This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, we come to you this day with bowed heads, closed eyes, and open and humble hearts, just thanking you for just being who you are. Father God, we thank you for this day, one we've never seen before, one we've never seen again. Father God, we thank you for your unending presence, that in the midst of all the things going on in our world, you continue to be that beacon of light for us. For that, we say thank you. Father God, we thank you for the gathering this morning. Father God, we may be small in number, but we're large in spirit. And your word tells us that when two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. So again, I say thank you for your unending presence. We pray that your presence is felt not only through this congregation, but all throughout all the congregation of the world. But Father God, we need to hear a word from you. Let everything be done pleasing and acceptable to your sight. And through it all, you receive the glory, honor, and praise. For Father God, you are indeed worthy. We ask for all these things in our Son Jesus' name, for his sake, we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Now let's join Mr. Vernon Moore as he explores this topic further.
It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. And it reads, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning with bowed heads, closed eyes, and open and humble hearts. Just thank you for this day. One we've never seen before, one we've never seen again. We thank you for just being here with us this morning. But we, Father God, without your presence, Father God, we are nothing. Father God, we pray that everything has been done thus far to your will and to your way. And now it's time for the message. Move me behind the cross, Father God, so they can see and hear you. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message today is, "It's Time to Go to Work." In one definition, work is described as activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. In another, it refers to a task or task to be undertaken, something a person or thing has to do. Brothers and sisters, upon reading these words, we can take time to reflect and find a moment or two in our lifetimes, whether it be academics, whether it be athletics or employment, that we find that work is the one word that's always present. Nothing can be achieved without putting in work, amen? In addition, let's point out the fact that our input determines our output. In other words, great work generates great results. Little or no work generates, that should speak for itself. Also, it's been said for many generations that if a person doesn't work, they don't eat. Amen. Therefore, if we desire to have something in our lives, or we aspire to be the best person that we can possibly be, it is a must that we put in the work. Amen. Now, as I come to you today, three questions came to mind. And here's the first one. When it comes to work in the spiritual portion of our lives, as children of God, are we generating the same energy we do to other aspects of our lives? Two, are we maximizing our effort to spread the word of God? And three, are we doing our best to allow the world to see the Jesus in us? All of us are present today, this morning, because of God's grace and mercy. Therefore, it's imperative that we shouldn't keep that greatness of God to ourselves or put it on the shelf to be used for our convenience or on special occasions. Each day we live, the challenge and task for us is to share the word of God with others. And in order for that to take place, it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to go to work. Amen? Now, as we look at the chapter of today's passage,
we find in the earlier verses, 12 through 16 to be exact, that Peter and the apostles are going about the land, putting in work for the Lord. In doing so, many are converted. Many are healed, both physically and spiritually. How great is our God. Now, unfortunately, that when the process of them doing work, they come across the high priest, someone we want to describe that has a little title, someone we want to say has a little perceived power, and dare I say, a little juice. That is someone who has people who we might consider them as, some might consider them as supporters, others as yes people, others as flunkies. They're there to back him up in anything he says. And because of such, he uses that perceived power to put Peter and the apostles in prison. Now, one may be willing to accept that consequence to defend their stand for a cause. But let's be real, brothers and sisters. No matter the cause, no matter how long the situation, most of us are not going to be willing to accept getting arrested and going to jail as a joyful occasion. In fact, I hate speeding tickets. And when I chose to take defensive driving and had that ticket dismissed, it felt like I was in jail for 8 hours. It doesn't matter whether they offered lunch or not. They say it's a free lunch, but we all know that free ain't free. Because basically when you pay for the class, you're paying for the lunch too. That being said, brothers and sisters, although jail or prison may not be a good experience, even despite the fact that one's willing to do so to defend their honor, we find in today's passage that is not the end. It's another source of reminder, brothers and sisters, that when the presence of the Lord is evident, troubles don't last always. In verses 19 and 20, we find that at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison's doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words in this life." This, brothers and sisters, should serve as inspiration to us all that even though man attempts to shut down the word of God, he can never shut it out. Therefore, when prison doors are open in this passage, the angel was in essence telling Peter and the disciples that it's time to go to work. Now, as we continue, we see they're doing just that, presumably determined more than ever to preach and teach the word of God. Of course, the next morning comes, and the high priest and his council and his people come about, and the officials, I should say, are coming to the prison and see that not only they're not present, but they are in the temple doing just what they were advised not to do. Now, at that point, I'm certain that the high priest has quite the dilemma on his plate, for it appears that although he forbids the apostles to preach and teach the word of God, and is probably frustrated because he's basically getting ignored, he somehow finds in his heart to protect Peter and the disciples from any physical harm, even death. Now, upon reading this, brothers and sisters, we can't help but feel that the presence of the Lord is there at that moment. Because as believers, we know that where the Lord is present, so is compassion, so is grace, so is mercy, so is peace. So with that in mind, he presumably sits them down and asks them, why did they deliberately disobey his orders? Because now they spread the gospel to the people. And because word has gotten around town, they fear they're going to be held responsible for the death of Jesus. It's safe to say, brothers and sisters, as I'm allowed to borrow the words from a songwriter this morning, the presence of the Lord is here. For those of us who call ourselves believers, that brings comfort, that brings joy, that brings peace. For those who don't get it, for those who don't want to get it, that may bring some fear to them. Now, in response to the high priest's statement, after he told them that, told Peter and the apostles this, the attitude of them can pretty much be summed up in three words. Not my problem. Again, I say, yeah, you said you told us not to do this, but hey, that's on you, not me. But with that approach, it seems that they have developed a made-up mind and they have decided to follow the commands of God and not man. simple as that. As we look at verses 29 through 32, we find that Peter is the one who's leading the charge. And just think of a while back, brothers and sisters, when Jesus was arrested prior to his crucifixion, Peter even denied being associated with Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, it's safe to say that from the time that Jesus was arrested, crucified, died, buried, and rose again, that Peter has experienced a transformation. He's experienced a rededication, and he's rededicated himself to the work of the Lord. Now, if a Peter was a songwriter today, he'd probably say that, "I'm glad that I serve a God of another chance." God's grace and mercy cannot be emphasized enough. Now Peter's gotten his focus back, and now he's determined more than ever, for he has witnessed God showing that a grave constructed by man cannot hold his son. Instead, his son is risen, and he's seated at the right hand of his Father to be Lord and Savior for us all. As a result, Peter has come to the conclusion that it's time to go to work and spread the news of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Brothers and sisters, it's safe to say that in our lives, one time or another, we've all experienced a quote-unquote a Peter moment. Now, that's not saying that we didn't deny God, or we didn't deny his presence, but rather our attitudes and actions, it reflect to the society that his presence is not in us at all. And people are questioning whether or not we're saved or unsaved. Amen? And that is because we haven't been fully committed to the Lord as he's been to us. And yet, because he loves us so, and his grace is sufficient, he continues to bless us anyhow. With that in mind, we should be convinced, we should be convicted, determined, and inspired more than ever to share the good news that Jesus is real. He is risen, he reigns yesterday, today, and forever. Furthermore, as we look at the current issues in our society today, there's no doubt in our minds that it's time to go to work. So what if people don't like what you're saying, ain't trying to hear what you're offering to them? And so what? In John 16:33, Jesus tells the disciples that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just as the words of Jesus served as comfort and direction for the disciples back then, they serve the same purpose for us today. For his word is true, and it still stands tall. Furthermore, we're often told that anything worth having requires work. Thus, the time is now for us to do just that. Amen? Now, as a bonus, I'd like to share this with you. As we continue to read the remaining verses of chapter 5, we find that the work of the apostles was rejected by the council, and they were furious to the point that the decision was reached to kill the apostles. However, one of the members of the council, Gamaliel, speaks up and advised the other members of the council that if the work of the apostles was that of God, no one can defeat it. And to go against God would be unwise, because if I'm allowed to utter the words of a popular Broadway musical back in the day, your arms are too short to box with God. So a decision, a compromise was reached to have the disciples beaten, but yet they still continue to preach and teach the people about Jesus being the Christ. That boldness and determination, brothers and sisters, sure inspires all to keep on keeping on, no matter what obstacles come our way. And as I come to an end, I pray that this message today serves as a reminder how blessed we are to be God's children, and how imperative it is to share the good news of Jesus to all for the purpose of building God's kingdom. Furthermore, I pray that the words I've shared with you thus far encourage us all that it's simply time to go to work. Amen? Now, before I take my seat, I want to just share something with you. Can we talk? maybe it's just me, but have you ever come across some people that once we walk out of the sanctuary, they don't want to talk about the goodness of God, don't want to have anything to do with church, don't want to mention Jesus? Now, that's not to say they shut it out totally, but they're doing a sporting event, they'll pray. When it comes to the meal, they'll say grace. But anything beyond that, they want to shut it down and simply say, we're not in church today. Am I the only one who's experienced something like that? And then usually when that happens, I've seen that the conversation just fades out. But as believers, it's time for us to take a stand on attitudes like that. Amen. Next time someone comes to you and say, we're not in church, and we're talking about the goodness of God, saying, tell them this. Say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Therefore, the church is in me. And I'm here to spread the good news that the God, as good as God has been to me, he'll do the same for you. Amen. Amen. Furthermore, we talk about the issues in our society today. We see what's happening on the news. We read, you know, we look at the newspapers, even when they decide to deliver. But I'm just saying, they miss a day or two every now and then on my route. But that being said, we don't even have to go that far. Let's look around just everyday people. Common courtesy, a lost art. Common sense ain't too far behind either. The respect of our elders, practically non-existent. Ethics, where are they? It's time for us that know better to do better. Amen? So it's time for us as God's children to take a stand. The choir just got through singing songs that I'm a vessel ready to be used by you. When you make a declaration like that, you're basically telling us it's time to go to work. It's time for us to take a stand. It's time to tell the world that our God reigns. He reigns forever and evermore. Power and majesty, dominion, authority, he reigns. We need to tell the world that we serve Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Last week we just said, he's not dead. He's risen, amen? We don't need to, the world does not need to hear that more than two or three times a year. They need to hear it beyond Easter and beyond Christmas, amen? Amen. Because the devil is busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays and weekends. Therefore, as children of the Most High, we need to do the same. We need to say that our God is awesome. Our God is amazing. Our God has all power in his hands. Today is the day for us to take a stand, brothers and sisters. Amen? And again, I say, so what if people don't like you? But for spreading the goodness of God. If you know haters like I do, they're going to find any other reason to like you anyway. Not to like you anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong. But as I conclude, I'm going to share this with you. A song over 30 years ago, 1990 to be exact, was released by the Winans. And it's relevant today. And it's simply titled, It's Time. And the lyrics go, it's time to make that change. We are the people who can do it. Amen. Are we willing to make that change? If you are, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And on that note, as I take my seat, I'm going to borrow a line from a talk show host from back in the day and say, let's get busy. May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.